At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
I can't remember what episode you were on before, but it was one of them, so you can go back and look. I'll put it in the description of this episode. But we got some fun stuff to talk about today. At towards the end, we got some fun stuff to talk about before that, too, because we're going to get in this caribou hunt that you guys just went on. But we also got a competition coming up between the Thin Blue Line and Ridge Hunter this year. It's going to be fun. Mm-hmm. We're going to do a little big buck competition. We got some fun stuff tied to that we're going to talk about. But like I said, I want to start, because you just got back from this caribou hunt, right? I want to start with that. When did you guys get back?
So we got back a week ago now.
A week ago?
We weren't supposed to get back until tomorrow, but we cut the trip a week short, which we'll get into. It was a good hunt. So
yeah, that's awesome. So you guys went to Alaska, correct? So let's just start from like square one of that, because that's something that actually people that want to go do that probably could help them out. What was your guys' like planning process for that? And then how did you end up actually even getting out there and doing all that? And did you go through a guide service? Was it DIY?
So completely DIY. So I've been pretty fortunate. My father has been traveling to do hunts like this most of my life. So I just, you know, naturally followed his footsteps when I got, actually got some adult money. And so anyway, I wasn't supposed to do a hunt this year. You know, we do a pig hunt every year, but that was going to be my one and done hunt this year. But my wife, she's going back to school to be a nurse practitioner. And she told me, beginning of the year, hey, don't do a big hunt this year. I'm like, no problem, dear. Well, in the springtime, she screwed up and she told our kids, she goes, yeah, I don't know where daddy's going this fall. I go, what do you mean? She goes, I just assumed you weren't going to listen and we're going to go on a hunt this fall. I'm like, I'm in. Okay. Sounds good. So my dad actually had this hunt already planned. He was going to do it. He's retired. He's going to do it completely solo by himself. So I just called him up and said, hey, you want two idiots to go with you to pack out your caribou, which is right away. It was myself and Kyle Ulrich, a team member of mine. And anyway, he was, you know, he's like, yeah, you and Kyle can come. He knew right away who I was talking about. And so anyway, it's archery only. It's I'll go ahead and tell you the unit is 26B. It's the Dalton Highway. So Hall Road is also what it's called. All the way goes to Prudhoe Bay. We did completely DIY, which is pretty common up there. You can do it. You can hunt caribou completely by yourself. Don't need a guide. I think the tag and the hunting license altogether cost us $840, I believe was the cost. So not bad.
No.
The big thing was plane tickets, you know, getting up there, which is about the same cost, to be honest with you. It was right around $800. So anyway, completely DIY. So it's pretty cool. The Hall Highway or Dalton Highway is the farthest point north in the world that you can drive. There's more points you can go more northern, but you can't drive to them. That was pretty cool. Dead Horse, Alaska is the last town you can get to. But it's following the Alaskan pipeline all the way up. And the Hall Road is the service road to the pipeline. And it's gnarly. It was actually on Ice Road Truckers years ago.
Oh, yeah.
About how dangerous this road is. Yeah. So really cool road. It's not so much like the road's dangerous to drive on. Like there was some paved, there was some gravel, some mud. But the main danger to it is so remote. If you break down, you probably don't have cell signal. And it's going to take hours for somebody to get to you. If not a half a day. So anyway, it's about a 12-hour drive. From the tundra anyway, from Fairbanks, Alaska, all the way to our unit. And that's, and again, it was pretty cool driving there, let alone. But anyway, you can do it completely DIY. It's archery only along that pipeline. So that pipeline is the dividing line, 5 miles on each side. You cannot shoot a gun. So there's a lot of archery hunters, but then there is some people who are going with a rifle, but you must hike out there 5 miles to shoot it. And I'll tell you this, the archery hunters are having more success than the rifle hunters when they're up there.
Really?
So just we met a lot of rifle hunters that were striking out.
Is it just because the caribou are using that pipeline to travel more? So the closer you can be to it, the better off you are?
They are some. Yeah, they are some. I think the main thing is, man, that tundra, it sucks to walk on. Oh, absolutely, yeah. Sucks. So I think you can cover so much ground on the highway compared to walking. Mm-hmm. So it's weird to me, man, because I'm not a road hunter. I don't like road hunting. But that's what this hunt is a road hunting thing.
Uh-huh.
And we did hike, but it's more cost effective just to burn the gasoline and go up and down the road.
Yeah. Way more efficient too, I'm sure. Like you can cover quite a bit of ground and you can see a lot up there, right?
Correct. There were some days we could probably see over 5 miles.
That's crazy.
Just, you know, obviously we weren't seeing caribou that far, but we could see big mountaintops and all that stuff. So. Mm-hmm.
I thought from the the pictures and stuff I saw you posted, it was mm-hmm. pretty expanse, like open stuff up there.
Yep. It was a blast, man. It was by far, I don't know if it was the hardest hunt I've ever done because Colorado public land hunting is pretty tough for elk.
Yeah.
But it was definitely up there. We didn't walk as many miles on this hunt as we did on the elk hunt. But just a walking, I'd rather walk 8 to 10 miles in Colorado than walk 5 miles on the tundra. It sucked. Best way to describe it is like half blow up balls essentially. And every time you step, your feet squishes. Mm-hmm. And then not only does it squish into the ground, I had wet feet every day. And there's just no way to get around it. Unless you're wearing like rubber boots or something like that,
right.
Which I brought hiking boots. Hindsight, rubber boots would be the way to go.
Uh-huh. Well, you live and learn, right? So,
oh, yeah. Yep.
So did you guys,
100%.
You were planning to be out there until, I guess, like today or maybe the day before or maybe yesterday, and then you were planning on being back?
We would have came back. We would have been back in Therps tonight.
Okay.
You would have flown right tonight. We would have got tomorrow.
You would have got home tomorrow.
Is what would have happened.
So
it's about a 6-hour difference up there.
Okay. What day of the hunt were you on when you guys killed? Because you all ended up killing, right?
Day six. Yep, day six. So
So what did you do the first 5 days? Drive around and look for caribou?
Yeah, and I'll tell you one thing that we kept running into is, number one, there's nowhere to hide out there. Mm-hmm. It's, again, as you saw, it's vast. We found a valley. I kept calling it Death Valley.
Mm-hmm.
The caribou were only like a mile off the road, but to get to them, you had to walk like 2.5 miles to get to them. And we messed with these caribou for 3 different days. Almost killed them. Had multiple cows within range, but it went from a group of like 100 to probably the last time we got into caribou there, probably around 500 caribou. So not only is there nowhere to hide, but we have 500 eyes, a pair of eyes to try to defeat, and it wasn't working. All righty, I'm back.
I can hear you and I can see you. It's a little choppy on the video, but I can still see you.
Gotcha.
You were frozen for a little bit there, but your audio was good, and then it all just left.
Yeah, I was thought about outside my Morton building, I thought it would be decent, but I guess not.
That's all right.
But anyway,
where were we at?
So we didn't kill any in Death Valley, as they called it.
Right.
And we ended up driving the Dalton Highway, going to Dead Horse a couple times, and we actually had an opportunity on day 4.
Mm-hmm.
We're driving back to where we kept running into them at along the mountains more. And I can spot 3 big caribou heading right towards the highway. And they were big. They were bigger than any of the ones we killed. At least the first 2 were. And so I want to remind you, we've been practicing, Kyle and I were practicing like 100-yard shots all summer long. We didn't want to shoot 100 yards, but we were preparing just in case.
Yeah.
And so anyway, so preferences, but when it comes to road hunting, it's completely legal to shoot right next to the road. You can't be on the road. They can't be on the road, but you can be right next to it.
Right.
So we're using, so the, essentially this highway, since it's the middle of tundra, was built up on gravel. So on each side of the highway, it drops off like 5 to 6 feet on each side. So we're seeing them on the, be on the west side working east. So we stop, we park, and we take off running on the other side of the highway, trying to get in front of them. And it's weird, man, because like as you're running along this highway, there's semis going past you, cars going past you. It's like, man, you don't feel like you should be hunting, but
right.
You know, we had a lot of semi truckers actually stop and watch us from time to time.
Mm-hmm. You feel like, free entertainment. You
know, just exactly. So anyway, we go running up there, and Kyle and I were switching off alternate who's going to be the hunter. And so anyway, he was up this time, and my dad is also with us, and he actually can't pull a bow back. He went up earlier in this year, got approved to use a crossbow, which Alaska, they make you jump some hoops to use a crossbow.
Mm-hmm.
You have to go see an Alaskan doctor, and since you prove you can't pull a bow back.
Right.
And, I mean, he did all that. So he had the crossbow, and then myself and Kyle had the bow. So anyway, we run over there, and here I range a road sign that I knew the caribou should be crossing right at that road sign, which again is weird to me, but it should be 60 yards, which was comfortable for Kyle and I, a lot better than 100.
Right.
So anyway, yeah. So finally, like they're almost to the road. I range that road sign. Okay, Kyle, you're up. They end up coming at 90 yards. They actually veered off the side of the road and a big bull. So he comes around off the highway right in front of Kyle. And anyway, he shoots. And actually, I don't know if he pulled the shot or what. Actually, pretty sure it hit the top like femur bone in the back hip. So not a good shot. This caribou, we will end up watching for like 5 miles probably, mm-hmm. and he was running fine. The broadhead actually broke right at the tip. He got maybe, I don't even know if he got an inch of penetration.
Oh, yeah.
So obviously non-lethal hit.
Yeah.
As soon as we heard a hit, my dad and myself shot at it as it was running because, hey, you got an arrow in it, you know, and we missed at that moving caribou.
Yeah.
That far. Yeah, we missed. And so anyway, another one came by right afterwards, and it saw us, never gave us a shot. So we knew the smaller of the three was still coming. So I tell Kyle, hey, hurry up and run up. Like, your caribou's not dead. Let's run up and try to cut this one off. We got too close.
yeah.
So anyway, that caribou comes over the road, and Kyle's like right there looking at it. That caribou sees him and never did get a shot. Yeah, never did get a shot at it.
I'm trying to picture this last one that he shot at with just a bolt and two arrows flying at him. after he already got hit.
At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
Once you guys just flinging arrows at him.
Oh yeah, yeah, and we weren't even close. Oh, I take it back. My dad was actually pretty close. He went right underneath it. I was nowhere near. but yeah, this smaller one comes up over the hill, sees Kyle right away, and takes off running. So we were pretty down in the dumps, to be honest with you, after that, because like, man, that was our chance. That was the best chance we've had the whole trip.
Right.
And a lot of people we had talked to had been struggling to even get shot opportunities. Mm-hmm. And then we just had essentially three opportunities that we just screwed the pooch on. So we were down in the dumps, but we go back to Death Valley, essentially, hiking there again. Don't see any caribou, but the tracks, they had to have been 1,000 in there after we left, because really? There's tracks everywhere that weren't there the day before. So like, dang, we missed them.
Mm-hmm.
So day five ended up being not nothing. But at the end of day five, we spot a couple hundred, about 2.5 miles off the highway in a shitty spot, not a good spot at all. And we're running out of time. So Kyle and I decide, hey, we're going to sleep at this pull-off point, because you're just camping along the highway. We're going to camp here for the night. In the morning, Kyle and I are going to chase them, essentially go after them. So that leads to day six. So down day six, I froze. Mind you, I should preference this. Kyle and I were going to tent camp. and my dad was going to sleep in the truck. Mm-hmm. The second day of rain ruined our tents. They couldn't keep up with the rain. So Kyle and I moved into the truck very quickly.
Uh-huh.
I was sleeping in the bed of the truck. We had a topper. And then Kyle would sleep in the driver's seat with the seat all the way back. And my dad would sleep in the passenger seat since he didn't have the steering wheel on his way then.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, I froze that night. I don't know how cold it got, but it was cold.
How cold was it normally up there?
So right around freezing. Okay. You know, it was above freezing the first 2 days of the rain, like right at 40.
Mm-hmm.
But then for the rest of the time, it was right around 32.
That's not too bad if you're not sleeping in the bed of a truck.
Yeah, exactly. It was during the day moving. It was fine. But, you know, that night I had to get right around 20, if I had to guess. Don't know for sure, but I got cold. So we were getting up about 7 every day. Because we noticed the caribou a lot of times weren't moving until like 10 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're waiting for the sun to come up more. But I got up at 6 that morning. Good thing I did. Because they would kind of, my dad and Kyle would kind of judge whenever I got up. That's when they would get up.
Mm-hmm.
So I was so cold. I finally got up at 6. I'm like, I got to get some hot breakfast in me, some hot coffee. I'm freezing here. So anyway, I get up and I set up my spotting scope, but I don't take a look at the caribou. I'm so cold. I'm like, I don't care about this caribou right now. I got to get warm.
Right.
And so anyway, Kyle gets up and he goes, looks at my spotting scope and he goes, holy cow, like, Cody, have you looked out here? I'm like, no, why? Like, have a caribou moved off or something? He goes, no, our couple hundred have turned into over 1,000 caribou.
Wow.
And you start looking, they look like anthills, just little ants dotting the whole mountainside.
Yeah.
Like, oh, holy cow. So I eat my breakfast. Kyle eats his breakfast. We make our coffee. By the time we're making our coffee, my dad gets up, is making his breakfast. About that time, Kyle looks up. Guys, they're crossing the road right now. We're like, holy. So we're grabbing our bows and stuff. Boom, taking off after them. We drive up the road. Only like half a mile is where they're crossing the road at.
Mm-hmm.
We park. Kyle and I take off after them. And my dad's crossbow is so cold. Mind you, his crossbow was in the bed of the truck with me.
Uh-huh.
His crossbow is so cold, it won't cock. So he's getting mad, you know. Uh-huh. And he's got the heat full blast on the truck, holding his crossbow to the vent, trying to unthaw it as Kyle and I take off. And I figured he's just out of luck. Like,
uh-huh.
He's not gonna get a shoot. So anyway, we're pulled up, and I'm pulled back on a couple caribou. There's so many caribou crossing the road, you can't shoot because there'd be my sight would be on a bull, and they're only like 40 yards. But there'd be either a cow or another bull in front of it, behind it. You just couldn't get a shot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, these semis kind of come and actually pull up, move the caribou another 50 yards up the road. So this is where we kind of went rogue. There was an old abandoned dirt road that went off towards the tundra more. Or you could just move up along the Dalton Highway and get closer to where the other caribou are crossing.
Mm-hmm.
I decide, hey, I'm just going to move up 50 yards. I don't care about the caribou that already ran. I'll get the next 1,000 that are coming.
Right.
Yeah. Kyle, for whatever reason, goes, I'm going to go chase those on that abandoned road. So Kyle takes off down this dirt road. I move up 50 yards. My dad has caught up with me now. His crossbow's cocked and ready to go. So he's behind me. Finally, I remember, man, I had my sights on a big caribou at one point in time. I just couldn't shoot because so many other ones are in the way. And they're about 30 yards now, so I'm actually closer to them now.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, the one I end up killing crosses the road in front of me. It's like all the other caribou stop and the other caribou keep going down the tundra. I'm like, all perfect. You know, I let her rip, and you just see the blood pouring out of this guy right away. I'm like, mm-hmm. Oh, he's dead. There's no way that caribou is going to live.
Right.
He's dead. It was a little low and maybe just a touch back, but like I still figured I got liver and lungs is what mm-hmm. I figured. And the blood was just, I mean, gushing. It was just going everywhere. So my dad ends up moving in front of me. I'm ranging for him. And then he ends up shooting the caribou like a minute or two later. I got that one on video. I did not get mine on video just because nobody was to record me.
Right.
So I shoot mine. Dad then shoots his. I got it all on video.
So really what you're saying is you hit him like up in the artery, the femoral artery under his tenderloins, and you're just telling us that you hit him really good?
Yeah. Hey, I got pictures to prove.
Okay. Yeah. Where you stuck the second arrow in him. I got it.
I'll get to that.
Okay.
So anyway, dad runs and dies. Mm-hmm. So we're perfect. Mine's out there its head's kind of going up and down. And we're like, well, let's go out there and get another shot. Sure enough, that my sucker stood up again. And
really?
I had to do another shot, which that one was, I was like 30 yards away again, and I put it right through the lungs, and it died. So we got two bulls down. We're excited. We don't know where Kyle went. So we have no idea where Kyle is. So we're like, and there's still 1,000 caribou crossing right where we killed ours. Right. So the way ours died, they're walking in between two dead bulls. Mm-hmm. So like, we need Kyle to get back here. Well, we didn't realize Kyle probably ran half a mile down this dirt road and his rangefinder quit working on him. So now he's guessing ranges. He ends up shooting. And he told us on the podcast that we got coming out. He told me he ends up firing the first one, a big bull, hits it in the horns.
Of course he does.
In the horn. Yeah. And then he finally shoots at another one, just misses way off. And now they're too far for him to shoot. And he's like, man, I've blown my chance again. Mm-hmm. He has no idea that there's still more coming.
Right.
We got killed too. He has no idea. So my dad actually gets him. I'm getting my camera equipment ready now, my good stuff. Kyle comes back, man. He's a defeated man. Head down. I think he's only got like two arrows.
I was going to say two less arrows than he had earlier.
Yeah. And he's just like, and he's like, Cody, can I use your rangefinder? Like, yeah, man. So I hit him a rangefinder. I'm like, and I point to him, hey, go right here. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, he goes there. And it actually worked out. The caribou, like, it's like the whole herd took like a 5-minute pause for some reason, mm-hmm. probably because we just shot two of them.
But, could have been, yeah.
Yeah. But he goes right where we were, and I videotaped him shoot a very nice caribou. So, we had three down in about a 30-minute time frame.
That's awesome.
And you know what's crazy? The whole time we're processing, the caribou were doing the exact same thing.
Like they didn't even care.
Nope. We timed that herd's migration perfect. Just dumb luck. And I'll tell you though, we're from a bush. Where they couldn't see us, and it took a shot like a tree stand or deer blind shot. And the whole time we were processing our caribou, we had other bow hunters pop up, and you tell they're like, oh man, are these guys already hunting? And we're like, guys, we'll kill it out. Do this. We would tell them, stand right here and do what we did. You will kill a caribou.
Yeah.
Every single one of them took off after him. They wouldn't sit still. Not one other person killed a caribou in that group that day.
No kidding.
And we probably had five other bow hunters try. And they would scare them a little bit. They would give up. The hunters would. Mm-hmm. And they would start crossing the road right away again.
So were you just like standing out in the open?
A lot of guys were.
Or did you have cover there where you were?
So kind of. Actually, I don't know. And you can share this. I'll actually text you this. So I've already shared this on our stuff. So my let's see if I can find it real quick. So like I said, that highway is built up off the road. Mm-hmm. So they would, when they got on the highway, you duck just along the highway. So they wouldn't see you until they got over it.
Right.
Since you had like a 5-foot clearance they had to get through. Here, I'll send you that real quick. And this is my dad. So like you can see, he's essentially in the ditch of the highway, which is completely legal to do. You just can't be on the highway,
right?
And you just had to wait till they got off the highway and then you could shoot them. Again, it's kind of crazy to me about the road hunting thing. It felt weird, man. It didn't feel right, like, honestly.
Yeah,
it didn't feel right, but it's again completely legal up there. It was a blast. We end up meeting a lot of cool people too. We actually had a guy named Jonathan. He was a resident up there. He actually took off after the herd with a rifle, and he killed one out of that herd. Nice. But he had to walk 5 miles to go catch him. So, but it was fun though.
Yeah, it sounds like it. That's sounds like you got your money's worth too out of the 6 days or whatever. So,
yeah. And then if anybody's interested in doing this hunt, I haven't tied up completely, but in the end it's going to be about $4,000. That's what it's going to cost us to get the meat back and all that good stuff,
right?
But it's completely DIY style. So when you get up there though, if you don't want to hunt along the highway, you don't want to hike, uh-huh. obviously you could hire a bush plane. A bush plane will fly and drop you off.
Right.
There's also a bunch of airboats up there. And those airboats can go the rivers and they'll drop you off. But we talked to some of the airboat people, talked to several hunters that hiked the 5 miles, and nobody was seeing caribou like we were along the highway. And some of the other bow hunters we were seeing, they weren't having a lot of success killing, but they were having a lot of success like stalking them, you know, at least getting stalking opportunities.
Right.
If I did it again, I would just stay along the highway. I wouldn't do the 5 mile thing. I wouldn't even bring a gun, I don't think. Like I said, I brought one rifle for the three of us to share, and right. I never took it out of the case one time.
So that's all the same permit?
Yeah. Yep. This is just a caribou permit. That's all. And it's got to be a bull. One thing you got to be careful is the cows do have antlers up there. Just caribou in general, cows have antlers. So you're looking for two things. So I'm assuming it's the testosterone of the bulls, but they start shedding. So if it's hard horned, you know, it's a bull,
right.
Or if they're starting to shed. There were some of the bulls that were like half velvet, half not.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
Because we killed, we're all shedded, all hard horn. But so you got to be careful looking at that. And then you're also looking for, they call it the penis sheath.
Okay.
What you're looking for. Yeah. And so that's, you're also looking for that. Cause there was some small bulls that we went and tried to put stalks on. And we had one case, we had a caribou decoy, and actually I would highly recommend that if you ever go up there. The caribou decoy actually worked really well.
Really?
I was putting a stalk on our group about 50, and I got within 70 yards. And I was just waiting for the bull to come, and it was a small bull.
Mm-hmm.
I actually had a bunch of nature photographers pull up along the highway next to me and started taking pictures of the caribou and me,
uh-huh.
and end up scaring the whole herd away.
You're going to be on
magazine
or something.
Nat Geo.
Yeah. For sure.
So I was not happy with them, and neither was my father.
Uh-huh.
Again, we had some other guys stop and take pictures, but they hung back. They weren't screwing anything up. These guys pulled right up, slamming their car doors, and completely legal. I mean, it's all public land. And they're not just like, they're not, it's not hunter harassment. They're sitting there doing something. They're taking
just
pictures.
Not very courteous.
Exactly. It's more like etiquette, you know? Like,
yeah, for sure.
Is what it is.
Yeah. So that's pretty crazy. The video you sent me, and I'll share it somewhere. I may put it over this or something, but, of your dad's, you guys, like for those of you that are audio only though, he's basically just standing in what would be the road ditch, right? Like there's no, it's not like a true ditch, I guess. But like you said, that highway's like 5 or 6 foot tall. And then he's just standing alongside it, and the caribou are just crossing the road and coming down, and like they don't even give a crap that he's there. It doesn't look like.
No, we had if you got too close, sometimes they would kind of panic once they got on the tundra.
Yeah,
it was like, it's almost like they knew we're safe on the highway.
Yeah,
but then when they got a little squirrely, sometimes on the tundra, but that herd, I don't know if it was because there were so many of them.
Mm-hmm.
They were definitely the less nervous of all the caribou we were around.
Yeah.
I don't know if they felt like strength in numbers or what.
Yeah.
But it was just luck of the draw, man. Like I said, it was a very tough hunt, but the fact that we just timed that whole herd perfectly worked out well.
Yeah, that's awesome. Can't beat that. Mm-hmm. Especially for
that
was your guys, everybody's first time on a caribou hunt, right? Or had your
so
dad
my dad,
hunt
my dad went. My dad went back in early 2000s or something like that.
Okay. And did he kill one then?
He has them. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's got. He actually got killed two bigger ones. That he's got shoulder mounted. So this is more of a meat hunt, as he called it. A very expensive meat hunt. But it was just more of a, you know, adventure style. You know, just to see some new. We saw some really cool things, man.
Oh, yeah.
That whole highway is super cool. We ended up seeing we saw some wolves. We saw a bunch of Arctic foxes, musk ox, and just met some really cool people there. Mm-hmm. Met a guy wearing a Chicago Bears shirt from Chicago there and Dead Horse. We were talking about the Bears game. He invited us to come watch it with him. They ended up losing that night anyway.
Of course.
But hey, we got to win. We got to win.
Well, I mean, yeah, you beat Dallas. I don't know how proud of that you can be.
A win's a win, damn it.
Oh, shoot. No, that's one of the fun things about going and doing that kind of stuff, I feel like, too, is just the experience of it and then meeting all the different people or whatever. And then, lo and behold, there's someone from just a couple hours away from you. But I can assume, I would assume that since you just got back and just killed this thing, did you guys get to eat any of it already? Or how was it?
So it was good. Very, very deer-like.
Okay.
So not quite. You can tell something's a little different, but very deer-like. So we ate that night. We ate some tenderloins, and we ate the heart, which I don't know if you like heart.
Never tried.
Like, I like heart. It's not my favorite. Let's say I not every deer I kill, but a lot of the deer I kill, I do eat the heart. Mm-hmm. So go back a little bit. I grew up with my dad doing these big hunts, and he told me a story when he was caribou or moose hunting, actually. But he met some caribou hunters that fed him fried caribou heart in Alaska.
Uh-huh.
And he always said it was really good. He doesn't like heart either. Now, he also hadn't ate meat in like 5 days at that point in time.
So that might have been why. Good.
Exactly. So I always have this whole like nostalgia. If I kill caribou, we're going to eat the heart that night.
Mm-hmm.
So number one, the heart is like this big of a caribou.
Right.
It's huge. We didn't eat it all, but it was good. You know, I feel like all hearts kind of taste the same. They got that iron taste to them, but it was good. And the tenderloin is really good. And, you know, I just fried it up in a little grease in one of my little cook stoves I had up there.
Nice.
But it was good. We will get it. So that if you ever do this, and I would recommend anybody who's interested in doing this hunt, do what we did. So you can obviously fly it back if you want to pay the luggage. And that actually would have been a little cheaper to do.
Mm-hmm.
But what we're worried about is, you know, you could lose your luggage, and if you lose you're done. You know, it's gonna get ruined by the time you get it, and it's gonna suck. There's a company called Trophy Express. They're actually based out of Wisconsin, but these guys have freezer trucks up in Alaska. They got three of them, and they take everybody's hunt at the end of the season. So it'll be October when they come down. They drive these freezer trucks to the lower 48, and there's a east, central, and west truck. Illinois is kind of weird. It's the East District, actually. But they come to Bloomington, Illinois. So that's only,
which works well for you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So sometime after October 6th, so we don't know when exactly, they'll send us a email and text, but they'll be, hey, we'll be at this place in Bloomington, Illinois at this date and time. We go there, we pay them. And it's, you know, frozen still by the time we get it. We drive it home and we process everything ourselves. So we'll do that. So it works out well. So I don't have my antlers or cape or meat yet.
Right.
I will have it here soon. Yeah. And good thing, too, because we're running low on deer. So.
How big are those things? Like the ones you guys killed, about how big were they?
So, you know, obviously we didn't have a scale up there. I would say north of 300, but south of 400.
Okay.
Definitely bigger than a deer, but not huge. They're, elk is bigger, obviously,
for sure.
But somewhere between a deer and an elk.
So they're about half the size of an elk, probably.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah,
I had a guess.
Like, okay, yeah. I didn't know, because out there, what are they eating mostly? Is it grass?
Just the tundra stuff, the tussocks or whatever. I think it'd be a hard life, man.
I would think so.
But, yeah. And then, you know, they got wolves chasing them, grizzly bears chasing them. And then they're telling us and dead horse, you got to be careful because during the winter months, they have predatory polar bears that come in.
That's awesome.
Start. Yeah, we were hoping to see one, to be honest with you, from a distance.
Well, you did have the rifle, so.
Yeah, exactly. And we all had our pistols, too. I don't know how much a .45 would do on a polar bear, but I guess it's better than
I would rather not test the theory.
Yeah, exactly. And then we'd also shot some ptarmigan, which is like a grouse up there.
Mm-hmm.
So the season's open. We're up there. Really good. My dad actually killed three with a slingshot. And I have that all on video, too. That we'll post that. It was funny.
That's awesome.
It was good, though. It was really good eating.
Yeah. So that kind of wraps up your guys' caribou hunt then, I guess. And you said... This, so we're recording this Monday, the 21st, I guess it is. Your episode's going to come out tomorrow, Tuesday, which would be today.
It'll be Wednesday.
Wednesday.
So
okay.
It'll be Wednesday, the 23rd or 24th. Yep.
Okay, so it'll be tomorrow from this episode. I guess today's the 22nd, right? Yeah. So this episode is going to be the 23rd, and then yours will come out the 24th. So everybody can go over to Thin Blue Line Outdoors and get the more in-depth and get Kyle's point of view and stuff too, right?
Yeah. Yep. And Kyle gets pretty animated about it, especially when he's down in the dumps. So that's worth it right there, to be honest.
Oh, sweet. So what we really came here for is this competition that we're having. We talked about it at the Deer and Beer Fest, and I think we actually maybe talked about it at Illinois Deer Classic this past year too. So what we've decided is we're going to do a big buck contest for everybody out there listening. Leave a comment who you think's going to win. If you follow both of us, well, we'll get into it a little bit. But what it is, we're going to take the average score of the bucks killed on each of our respective teams. So that way we don't have to designate people, because we have, what now, five or six guys, and you've got...
be 18. So that's why I was like, exactly. Yeah, yeah. So I got... I got enough toes and fingers. I can get that.
Yeah. So we figured that out. We just do the average of all the bucks killed, right? And then at the end of the season, whoever's got the highest average score wins the competition. And that's where it really gets fun, because the and for the winners, we're going to do a plaque. It'll be great. You can put it over your shoulder in your podcast. That's awesome. But what really sucks is being the loser, because the loser is going to have like I'm not exactly sure what we're going to do yet, but I'm thinking a mounted deer butt is going to have to be on set of your podcast for
that'd be great
for at least like a couple months, probably, right? The plaque, you can leave that there all year, whatever. So like, we'll say like a couple months, you got to have the deer butt in your podcast set. And then for the following month after the competition, like, your podcast has to be brought to you by the other channel. So if you guys win, it would be the Ridge Hunter Outdoors podcast brought to you by TBLO and whatever. We'll come up with some kind of dumb ad read that I'm sure Nate will make.
Painful. He's already. I'll have to look at it and make it at least PG-13.
Right.
So, but yeah, we're excited. It should be fun. I know if you guys have seen us at the Deer and Beer Fest at all, you know, we're throwing jabs at each other the whole time, and it's all good nature. You know, that first year we did it, and we found out, you know, well, cops are firefighters. It's been going ever since, and it should be fun. I'm really excited. I know one thing I'm nervous about, because originally, you know, we were thinking about I was going to pick like five guys or whatever to match it, because I feel like on average, like out of your five or six guys, you guys kill bigger deer on average between your five or six guys. I have some killers on my team that kill some good deer, you know, like last year I had, so I killed a 160, another guy killed like a 155, and then I had one guy killed a 179. Just, you know, so I got some killers. Problem is, I got some guys to kill some forkies every year.
We're looking at you, Nate.
Nate, the red coat. Oh, yeah. That's gonna bring my average down.
You'll have to talk to those guys about that. Maybe introduce some personal punishment for your smallest buck on your team. That could be totally up to you.
I just posted a video about shoot or pass on a young buck that actually Kyle had on his farm that he passed on, which I agree with his decision. It's probably 120 if I had to guess. But the red coat Ryan was on there saying, "Ah, oh, shoot it, lad."
Of course. He'd probably shoot it three times just because.
It should be fun though. I do have a question for you though. I'll let you be the judge and jury on this. The red coat is going mule deer hunting this year. Are we counting that or not counting it? I'll let you pick. With a rifle, too. And he's never done this before. He has no experience.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
He wants to count it because I think he's going to kill a forkhorn. But as soon as I do, he'll kill like a 230-inch slob.
Yeah. So that's why I would say I was leaning not, but I was going to let you be the pick.
Yeah, let's go. Yeah, because then that gives him an extra tag, too. So let's leave this to whitetails, and then that way...
Perfect.
If he kills a four-pointer or a two-pointer, they'd call it out there, then I'm going to feel like we should have added it, but... He might kill a giant, too. Where's he going?
Yeah. Montana. Montana. He's actually going to be coming here sometime in October. We're going to do a podcast, a pre-hunt podcast, mm-hmm. and then we'll do a podcast afterwards, too. So he's going to videotape all that good stuff. So it should be fun. We have another guy who's actually from Montana that he's in Wisconsin now, and we did a big bow shoot this year. Mm-hmm. And some of the questions John was asking Ryan, like, hey, do you know about this yet? You know about this yet? And Ryan's like, what, lad? So Ryan doesn't know what he doesn't know. Uh-huh. And the video should be good.
It'll be really entertaining one way or the other.
Exactly. Yeah. He does have his wife's uncle lives out there. So mm-hmm. he's got some help. So
he does have a local at least.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that'll be helpful. Yeah. See, this is where the pressure is not really on me. I feel like you have more pressure on this because you kill as big a deer as anybody on your team. And I have a team full of guys that always kill bigger deer than I do. So, like, I'm just getting carried. I don't even really have – as long as I don't bring us down too far, I'm in good shape. You're the one that's got to go out there and make sure that you kill the really nice deer because
– Yes. I am nervous. I am nervous about that, and I'm also nervous because my home farm, I don't have – I think the biggest buck I have right now – 130, 140. I got some ones that usually move in and they haven't moved in yet.
Right.
So I'm nervous there. I got a whole nother farm. I haven't even pulled cameras yet. So I'm banking that thing. I got some good ones there. But yeah, I'm hoping, luckily my brother-in-law's got some good ones on his farm and he's getting better and better every year. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping the guy who shot the 179 last year, he usually kills a good one. So I'm banking on him too. Mm-hmm. So.
Oh, that's awesome. Do you guys got anything like different or new planned for this year? Or you just kind of keeping rolling with the same thing and bigger and better than you did it last year kind of deal?
Essentially, yeah. We're going to be doing the vlogs again. They'll start. I haven't decided the first one's going to come out I think deer season opens up on Wednesday.
Yeah.
I haven't decided. I got some stuff I could put out for that Friday if I want. I haven't decided if I'm going to do that Friday or the Friday after because we always put them out on Fridays. But we'll do essentially a bi-weekly vlog for us. Mm-hmm. And then we have four big hunts that are happening this year. The caribou hunt already happened. My brother already did half a leg in Nebraska hunting whitetail. And he's got some footage of another guy shooting one. But he's going to go back there again. So we'll do like a whole film with that. Uh-huh. I got a... Ryan and his brother going out to Montana, and then I got John going to hunt elk in Montana, just cow, cow elk later on. So we're gonna do those more like a film style.
Yeah.
But I'm not gonna put those out until probably next August.
Right.
So we'll do like a, I don't know if I'll do like 1 week of films or do one film a week or what I'm gonna do exactly. Mm-hmm. We're essentially gonna have like a mini film fest for us by doing these hunts. But other than that, we're just gonna do the vlogs. I know we're hoping starting in January, we're actually going to start taking more first responders out with us who are either new to hunting or new to style of hunting. We obviously do the hog hunting thing every year. Mm-hmm. We got some guys really big into the thermal predator hunting, plan on taking them out. I actually have maybe a guy I met. He's not a first responder. He's actually a veteran. But he's actually from Tennessee. He might come up and do some whitetail with me. So, we're branching out, trying to help, first responders and getting them in the field and all that good stuff.
Awesome.
So, more and more of that.
Yeah, that'll be good. Your guys' vlogs are always entertaining, too, especially ones where guys just blow the crap out of a tree and think they smoked the buck.
Every time, man.
That was one of my favorites ever. Like, because I'm sure, and we've all been there, like you shoot and you think like you were holding really good and you didn't really see anything and just maybe heard it and you thought, dude, I smoked him. But you can see plain as day on the video, that tree just explodes off to whatever direction that was. There's no telling where that bullet ended up.
Yeah, oh, who knows, man? Who knows? There's my guys. We're talking about this big buck contest, and I'm obviously we have to shoot big bucks, but I tell everybody, man, shoot what you're happy with.
Absolutely.
And nothing's going to change even with this competition. And you know, people like Ryan, for example, one reason why I like hunting with him, man, he gets so excited, so excited when we go. Whether it could, we could be duck hunting and one duck is coming in, he's shaking, like, it's not a duck, you know, and it's just, and it's just so much fun, man. And that's what it's all about. And again, that's why I try to get these other first responders come out. I'm like, dude, just come out and have fun, man. And it's just a blast. I love it.
Yep. Yep. Can't beat it. Well, why don't you, before we get you out of here, tell everybody where they can find you, where they're going to see that caribou video, well, that hunt, on whatever guy you guys got of it, where they can find that when it comes out, and then any of your socials or whatever you want to plug, let them know. And I'll put it in the description too. But
yep. So everything's The Thimbleweed Outdoors on everything, TikTok, Instagram. YouTube is where you're going to watch all the vlogs and the films. Make sure you type in The, because there's an inactive account that's Thimbleweed Outdoors. You can follow them if you want, but they haven't posted anything in like 5+ years. Make sure you type in The. But we pretty much, now that we've been around for so long, if you type in, even I've noticed, even if you type in Thimbleweed Outdoors, we pop up. Our logo, you'll see, either with the broadhead or the state of Illinois. And, you know, we're pretty easy to find. So,
yeah.
But awesome. Yeah, that's pretty much it, man. Again, I'm excited to kick your ass when it comes to this competition.
We'll see about it. You're forgetting the ringers that I got too, man. I am not even a little bit worried about this. Not that I think we're for sure going to win, but I got three guys that I know are going to kill at least 140-inch deer, and one of them's probably going to kill a 160.
Well, I hope he listens to this. I hope he listens to this. But like, Blake's not going to hunt this year, right?
Blake's not going to hunt
this year.
He can't
hunt this year, right? He's wiped up, essentially. Yeah,
pretty much.
His girlfriend's not going to let him hunt.
No, that's true. That's true. He's going to find that out, probably. Or she's going to find out just how much he actually likes to hunt. Shoot. He claims that his luck is just, like, bound to run out one of these days, because I think he's killed out the last 2 years. And some really nice deer.
He made a hell of a shot last year.
Yeah,
that shot he made last year was a hell of a shot. Like, I remember watching that video. I'm like, holy cow. Don't tell him this. I don't want him to watch this part.
No, he probably
That was
won't.
A great shot.
I won't tell him. He might hear it. But, the people on Facebook would significantly disagree with you on that. Not all of them.
He killed it. Yeah, see, he killed it.
He was all like, he kept talking about that, and he'd get on there and read the comments and like tick them off. And I was like, dude, you got to think about this. There are, I don't know, 150 comments, and let's say 60% of them are negative, or 50% for easy math. So that's 75 people who thought that was a crappy idea. But then there's like 2,000 likes, right? So you got to remember here, more people liked it than they didn't, but it's so easy just to go read the crappy comments and get all bent out of shape about it. Because
I love the crappy comments, man.
I do too.
I find them hilarious when people are insulting us, which I'm used to it at work anyway.
Right.
I just have fun with it. It's sarcasm, man.
Yep, absolutely.
It's fun for me.
The last episode that we all did together, I read a comment from an old guy. He said he was like 74, 76.
I listened to your podcast.
Yeah, telling us that we were too young to know anything and we didn't know crap from apple butter. And Blake thinks he'd go 10 for 10 on crap and apple butter. I don't know. I think we should test that.
Maybe see that as a care package with apple butter in it. So just, if you get that, I promise you it'll be apple butter.
You know, I'll let Blake test it and see if he's right, if he really does know the difference.
There you go.
That's awesome. All right, dude. You got anything else before we get off of here? I'm sure we'll do another one again, maybe after the season or something, and talk about what all you guys killed and who won the competition and all that kind of stuff. But
Sounds good. I'm excited, man. I know I was waiting for this. My team members know we're doing a competition. They don't know all the details yet.
Uh-huh.
I'll probably let them know tomorrow. But yeah, no, I know I'm going to get this part of the podcast from you. We're going to post it on our end too.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody, if any of my followers, if you're following us and not following him, follow Rich Hunters Outdoors. So I appreciate the friendship now that we have.
Oh yeah.
And honestly, I really enjoy your guys' stuff though too. I watch your series every year. And it's, I know, and last year, I thought you guys did really well. The year before, I think it was, you struggled to get kills on camera.
Yes.
And last year, you guys were kicking ass.
We did a lot better last year.
I know. I'm looking forward to what you guys do this year. Yeah, you did. Yes, you did.
We joked around.
So I'm excited.
We joked around that the first year we should have called it fall F ups instead of fall pursuit.
But yeah, no, I'm looking forward to watching your content. And I know, again, I also like just again the progress. I could tell like your editing and everything got better last year. And sure. I like seeing that growth in anybody. So I know it's always awesome to see.
No, I appreciate it. Right back at you too. Mm-hmm. I enjoy
I'm excited.
I really do enjoy watching your guys' vlogs and stuff when they come out and everything. And same deal. Like
thank you.
Just seeing the progress of the filming ability and the editing and everything like that. Cause that's like you can think you haven't figured out or like you can go look up stuff on how to do all that. And then until you actually get there and you start like trying to actually film hunts and everything, like it's so hard to learn what you actually need to be doing or paying attention to or whatever. So like the years go by, it all gets better and you guys are, you're no exception to that rule.
Yeah.
So
And one thing you brought up when I first met you, and now I've seen it as well. You know, a lot of brands kind of started when we did around the time or even since then. And man, a lot of them people don't stick with it, man. And no, it's, you know, I know we just hit, we hit 5 years this year. Where are you guys at now?
This is our, it's the fifth year Ridge Hunter, fourth year of the podcast. And this will be season three of Filming Hunts.
So it's just, hey, we're still hanging out.
Yeah, exactly.
We're still hanging on.
We're still doing
it. Having a good time.
Yep.
And having a good time. So
for sure.
I know one thing we got to get definitely get together and do some hunting sometime, you know. I know we talk about maybe doing a competition or something, or even fishing or something like that. But that's the one thing we definitely need to get together and do some hunting sometime.
Yep, I agree. Maybe we can get together late season and kill some does on each other's place or something.
That'd be fun. Yeah, always good to kill some does.
Oh, yeah. That'd be good content, too, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
All right, man. Well, appreciate it again. Appreciate everything you guys do, especially for first responders and all that, and for coming on the show and, again, being a friend of the show and a friend in general. So we'll catch you guys around sometime, I'm sure, and we'll have you back on at least at the end of the season
if
this competition's over.
Yep, sounds good, man. Be safe out there, dude.
Yep.